Hello and welcome back to Talking Talmud. I'm Ann Gordon here with my friend and chavruta Yerdana Osband. Our daf of the day, Masechet Bav Metzia, daf Lamed Gimel, page 33. So again, we have a Mishnah. Actually, we have two Mishnayot on this daf, but the second Mishnah on the daf is really the next parak, which we're going to hold off until tomorrow. We're going to append it to daf Lamed Dalet. But we'll start here with the Mishnah, the one towards the top of the page. Avedato v'avedat aviv, avedato kodemet. So if a person finds his own lost object, and he also finds his father's lost object, and then he needs to take care of his own lost object first. That's what takes precedence. Right? There's a lot of cases like this, you know, X versus Y, whichever one, right? X or Y takes precedence. So here, that's what we have, the setup of his own lost item or his father's lost item, his own takes precedence. Aveda tova, vedat rabo, shelo kodem. And likewise, if he finds his own lost item or his teacher's lost item, then the taking care of his own lost item still takes precedence. Avedat aviv vavedat rabo. Now what happens if what he finds is his father's lost item and his teacher's lost item? Now which of them is going to win? Shel rabo kodemet. It says the teacher's lost item takes precedence, meaning to go handle it. Shaviv aviv leolam hazeh rabo shlimdu kachuma mivio lechaye olam haba. This distinction between a teacher and a teacher versus a father is made elsewhere as well. It's a fairly common kind of distinction. Namely, the father brought the person into this world, and the teacher, through teaching Torah, brings the person to the next world, right? So the world to come in terms of reward for fulfilling mitzvot and so on. V'im aviv chacham, shel aviv kodemet. However, if the father is a Torah scholar, then the father's lost item would take precedence over the teacher's lost item, because then you've got the double whammy, right? The father is both the Torah scholar and also, both the world, this world, and also the world to come. Now, haya aviv v'rabo. No, see, I just want to say one point about the father versus teacher. I think that we nowadays kind of have like a knee-jerk negative reaction to this idea that anything's going to take precedence over family unless family has done something to jeopardize that priority. I think that the halachic approach, the Talmudic approach here, which says, you know, we're always going to prioritize Torah study, fulfillment of mitzvot, I think is exactly par for the course, even if it doesn't quite jive with, you know, my modern sensibilities in terms of, or my own family's primacy of family. So just my own two cents. Okay. Haya aviv rabo nosin masui, maniach et shel rabo, v'achar kach maniach et shel aviv. Let's say his father, the person's father and teacher, each of them are carrying a bundle, a burden, and he's going to help them, right? Meaning we're not talking about a little kid here. He's coming to help. Well, does he help his father first or does he help his teachers first? So the Mishnah here says he's first going to help his teacher put the burden down, and then we'll help the father put the father's burden down. Now, haya aviv rabo bevet hashevi podet rabo v'achar kach podet aviv. What happens if both father and teacher were taken captive? Then again, the teacher takes precedence, and then the redemption of the father would come second. Ve'im aviv chacham, but if his father is a Torah scholar, podet aviv v'achar kach podet rabo. If his father is a Torah scholar, then that would be the first redemption, and only then would he come to the teacher. So again, I say that these are rather, you know, if you're looking at them just as mathematical cases, then that kind of works. But if you think about them in real world word terminology or cases, it feels very difficult, I find. Okay, the Gemara comes to say, like, where do we get this from to begin with, right? Because the Mishnah is using a whole set of assumptions that are not, you know, they're not fully articulated, just the practice of them is articulated. So the Gemara says, Mina Hanimile, where is this from? I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm a Rav, I'm a Kra. There's a verse right in Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 15, Ephes ki lo yebcha evyon, where it says only so that there should be no needy, impoverished people amongst you, specifically shalcha kodem l'shal kol adam. The idea is that those who are within your most inner circle, let's say, take priority, take precedence for your own helping impulse before you're going to go deal with, you know, everybody else out there in need. And Rabbi Yehuda says, the Rav says, that as much as that is a halacha, then anybody who like really follows this through is going to ultimately come to be in a position of being the impoverished person in need, and other people will come to put their own priorities first over them. Meaning, on the one hand, we're going to say, yeah, pay attention to your inner circle first. On the other hand, if you only pay attention to your inner circle, then what's going to happen is that you're going to be stuck, like dependent on other people who will be paying attention to their inner circle, and you won't get the help that you need. This idea that we have levels of responsibility, specifically in terms of, let's say, philanthropy or other kinds of assistance, I think it's a little bit tricky because on the one hand, we need kind of a hierarchy in terms, because there's so much need, there's so much that anybody wants to do to help. So you have to kind of make a ladder of what's going to take precedence over what, as we have here. And then on the other hand, at some point we say, well, if you don't look at the bigger picture, then you're also not paying attention to, in fact, the bigger picture. And so both come into play, I think, for the person here who has that opportunity to help out.
Look, I think this is one of these mishnahs that, like, it's halacha, but it also gets into, you know, some sort of deep value lessons as well, right? What's the role? What's the difference between the relationship between parent and teacher? That's the section that I want to read. The Gemara goes on to talk about this a little bit more. Itmar, it was taught Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef. I'm a Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. The halacha follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and they're talking about a mishnah that came before. But Rav Acha bar Rav Huna amar Rav Sheshet, right? Whereas Rav Acha bar Rav Huna says in the Rav Sheshet, halacha k'Rabbi Yosi, right? So this is the brisa that talked about that one's teacher is a person that taught somebody the majority of his wisdom. And Rabbi Yosi said that this term applies even to a person who taught you just a little bit, right? And that could be like you learned one mishnah basically from that person, okay? So that's, you know, so that's the first discussion they want to say is what is a one's teacher? And so Rabbi Yitzchak saying, no, we followed this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that it's who's the person who taught you most of your Torah, as opposed to this other opinion of Rav Acha in the name of Rav Sheshes, which basically says, no, it's like Rabbi Yossi, anybody who teaches you anything, you know, they are considered to be your teacher. And so then the Gemara wants to understand a little more about Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef's, you know, recording of Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Umi ama Rabbi Yochanan haki. Did Rabbi Yochanan really say this, that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda? But ama Rabbi Yochanan halacha kistam mishnah. We know that Rabbi Yochanan always says that the halacha follows a stam mishnah, meaning an anonymous mishnah, one that doesn't specify a specific tana. Utnan, and we learned in our Mishnah, right, that one's teacher takes precedence over their father, Rabbo Shalimdo Chachma, that it's a teacher who taught him wisdom, right? Because this is our Mishnah, that it's they, you know, the teacher brings him into the world to come. So this Mishnah seems to be to rule like Rabbi Meir, that the person who taught somebody wisdom, right, which they usually interpret to mean Talmud, is his teacher. So how could Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef say that Rabbi Yochanan follows the view of Rabbi Yehuda, that it's the person who taught you most of your wisdom because it's a stam mishnah, and Rabbi Yochanan always holds like a stam mishnah. So the Gemara answers, my chachma, what does our mishnah mean when it says chachma? Rov chachmato means the majority of his wisdom. So in other words, they interpret it to mean that our mishnah actually is in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda's view. Now the Gemara is going to talk about a brisa that talks about, you know, what is the merit that somebody gets when they learn? What's the reward you get for studying scripture or Mishnah or Talmud? Tana Rabbanan, the rabbis were taught in a braisa, ha'oskim b'mikra, somebody who, you know, teaches himself mikra, scripture, right? Osek b'mikra mida, right? He accomplishes something. He did something. Ve'ina mida, right? But it is not a large measure, right? B'mishna, right? It's not a large measure. B'mishna, right? If he learns Mishnah, those who learn Mishnah, mida, he accomplishes something. V'notlina levschar, and he gets a schar for that. Okay, so in other words, it seems that Mikra is one level of earning, but Mishnah seems to be better because there you get a schar. Gemara, right? Talmud, ein lecha mida gdola mizo. There's no greater measure than this. Lecha mida gdola mizo, right? There's no greater measure than this. Uliolam have a bratz l'mishnah yoter min agra. But somebody should always run to study Mishnah more than Talmud. So very, very interesting brisa. Now, I think there's a lot to unpack here. Why is Mikra not considered to be as good to learn as Mishnah and Talmud, all right? I think one of the theories is that when you learn Mishnah and Talmud, right, specifically, you actually learn, especially Talmud, you actually end up learning a lot of Mikra, right? Because it quotes a lot of psukim. So it's the combination of learning Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaalpeh together, whereas if you only learn Mikra, you're only learning Torah Shebichtav. You're only learning the written Torah. But the real question about this Mishnah is if you're just saying that you get more schar for Talmud, why should you run to learn Mishnah first? Hagufa kasha, right? So the Gemara says, right, it's self-contradictory. Amart v'Gemara, right? On the one hand, you said you should study Talmud. Ein lecha migdola mizeh, right? There's no greater measure than this. V'hadar amat ulam have ratz l'mishnah yoter min Gemara. But then afterwards, it says you should study Mishnah before Talmud. So how does the Gemara solve this? Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Yemei Rabbi Mishnei Mishnah Zo." The first Tanaitic statement, right, which talks about the study of Talmud, was taught during the days of Rabbi, right, meaning Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, who was the redactor of the Mishnah. So in his time, it was more important to study Talmud than Mishnah, right? Shavku kula alma matnina. But then everybody stopped studying Mishnah, but azlu batar Gemara, and started only studying Talmud, and they actually stopped reviewing the actual text of the Mishnah itself. And so then Rebbe thought that they were actually going to forget Mishnah. Hadar drash lehu li'olam havei ratz l'mishnah yoter migemara. And so then he said that actually you should run to learn Mishnah more than Talmud. I will personally tell you, I think Mishnah is very understudied. My father's Rebbe, Rabbi Scheinberg, not the one with the tzitzis, his brother, but Rabbi Scheinberg actually always used to teach him that you really should learn Mishnah. That Mishnah, like if you only have time to learn a little bit a day, Mishnah is the way to go. That is actually what you should be learning. And I think it makes sense because, you know, it's kind of the building blocks of the Gemara. And I think if you don't really understand Mishnah, then it's difficult to actually... it's actually difficult to understand Mishnah itself.
I'll just add to that, Rabbi Moshe Kahn Zatzal, right, who we've talked about at the time of his passing, and some of the skills that he made sure to instill in all of his students. He also was a proponent of learning Mishnah as, in particular, as a means of gaining that handhold in what we've talked about. You know, you have to know everything to know anything, to learn anything. So if you go through Mishnah, and I think really the answer has to be repeatedly, but if you go through Mishnah, then you get a sense of the everything that helps you then delve more deeply into something more specific.
Right, 100%. So I think, I don't know, I always feel like, you know, maybe some of you who are doing Daf Yomi, doing like a Mishnah Yomi program is a great thing to do, where you learn a few Mishnayos a day, because it's the building blocks. Even though you don't get the Mikra piece of it, right? The Psukim usually appear in the Talmud, but I think it's very, very important, to learn. And then the Gemara then comes. So, you know, I always think about this, that my father's Rabbi Shmuel Scheinberg, he always said that, you know, you needed to, you should always be learning Mishnah. Then they give a source for Rabbi's statement, right? When did he originally say that studying Talmud is more important than Mishnah? And they quote a pasuk for how he gets to that. Kidrash Rabbi Yehuda by Rabbi Eli, right? It's he gave a drush on Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Eli, who said, "My dichtiv." What's the meaning of the pasuk? Haged la'ami pisham. Tell my nation of their transgressions. Ulevet Yaakov chatotam, and the house of Yaakov, their unwitting transgressions is how people translate that. This is a pasuk in Yeshayahu, chapter 58, verse 1, right? Hagela mi pisham. The first half is Elu tamidei chachamim. This is Torah scholars sheshagaot nasot lahem kizodonot, who make, you know, who make mistakes, they sin, right? But it's considered to be purposeful. It's not a shkaga. It's not, you know, by accident. It's considered to be purposeful. And then Ulevet Yaakov Chatotam, Elu Amei Haaretz, this refers to sort of the non, you know, the everyday people, right? The regular people. Shizadonot Nasit Lahem Kishkagot, right? Who, when they sin purposefully, God considers it to be like a shkaga, right? It was a mistaken transgression. Behind it, it's not. And this is what we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Havi Zehir B'Talmud, right? You should be meticulous in the study of Talmud, Sheshigat L'Talmud Oled L'Zadon. Because if you're careless in your misinterpretation of Talmud, it's as if you did it purposefully. It's as if you did a sin that was B'mezi, that was Zadon. So that's where they get to that. And then finally, the parak ends with, right? Drash Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai Ma Dichtiv. So another, drasha, another exposition that Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Eli, gives. And here they quote his pasuk from Yeshayahu, chapter 66, verse 5, right? That says, Shimu Devar Hashem HaChareidim El Devaro Amru Achichem Sonechem Minadechem L'man Shmi Yechabad Hashem V'nira B'simchatechem V'hem Yeveshu, right? Which means, hear the word of Hashem, those who tremble at his word, your brothers, your enemies, those that cast you away have said, because of me, Hashem will be honored and we will see your joy, and they will be ashamed. So the question is, who are the Haredim? Elu Tamidei, that's not the way that we use Haredi today. There it means literally those who tremble. And it means Elu Tamidei Chachamim. Those are the Torah scholars, right? Amru Achechem. And then it goes on to say, who were the Achechem? Your brothers, Elu Baalei Mikra. Those are the people who study scripture. So Nechem, right? Who are your enemies? Elu Baalei Mishnah. Those are the people who only study Mishnah, meaning they don't like to study Talmud, okay? That's what that means, that they somehow don't like Talmud. Minadechem, right? Those who cast you away, Elu Amei Haaretz, those are sort of the, you know, the people who don't study at all. Shama Tamar, perhaps you will say, Pasak Sivram Ubatel Sikuyam, their hope is gone and their prospects are not. In other words, they won't be partners in the joy that comes with the Mashiach coming. Talmud Lamar, the Talmud, where the Torah tells us, V'nireh b'simchatechem, we will see your joy. Meaning, since the prophet didn't say, I will see your joy, but he said, we will see your joy, that he's saying, all of these groups, those who only study, you know, those who study Talmud, those who only study Mishnah, those who only study Mikra, the Amei Haaretz, who don't study anything, all of them, yevoshu, they will be ashamed, right? So even though these groups will, although these groups will experience joy, they will also be ashamed when Mashiach comes. Talmud Lamar, Vehem Yevoshu, right? They will be ashamed. Ovdei Kochavim Yevoshu. The idolaters, they will be ashamed. Yisrael Yismachu. But Israel will be rejoiced, okay? So the idea here is that all of these people will participate in the joy, no matter what their level of learning is, when the Mashiach comes. Even though, the idolaters, those will be the one who will be embarrassed. And so I think the parak ends in an interesting way to say, like, yes, we're praising those who study, but it also kind of, I think, ends on like kind of a very democratic note by saying, like, we recognize everyone's going to have their strength in B'nai Yisrael of who studies and who doesn't study and who enjoys studying some things more than others and who doesn't study at all. All of you will participate no matter what you are, because you're part of Am Yisrael. You will be part of the joy of Mashiach at the end. So I actually think it ends it ends in a non-elitist way and actually in a very beautiful way, sort of trying to unify every member of B'nai Israel, no matter what their learning level is.
That's our DAP discussion for the day. Rank us, review us on all major podcasts. Thank you to Reverend Michelle Farber for hosting us on the Hadra website. Let us know what you thought about this DAP on our Talking Talmud Facebook page. And until tomorrow, go and learn.